Barack Obama's words transcend typical political rhetoric, offering a blueprint for how language can bridge divides in fractured times. His speeches, from state senator to two-term president, reveal a rare rhetorical genius that places him alongside FDR, JFK, and Reagan in the pantheon of presidential orators. What makes Obama's language particularly powerful is how it weaves personal narrative with national identity, creating a vision of America as an unfinished project requiring collective effort. His words don't just inform, they inspire action. When Lin-Manuel Miranda cited Obama's speeches as inspiration for Hamilton, he recognized what makes this rhetoric distinctive: the ability to make complex ideas accessible while maintaining intellectual depth. In our increasingly polarized landscape, these speeches offer more than historical artifacts. They provide a pathway to reconnect with our shared humanity and democratic values. I am not opposed to all wars. What I am opposed to is a dumb war. These words from Obama's 2002 Chicago anti-war rally speech demonstrated his principled opposition. As Congress debated authorizing the Iraq War, he acknowledged Saddam Hussein as a brutal man while arguing that invasion would inflame the Middle East and strengthen al-Qaeda. The speech was notable not just for predicting an occupation of undetermined length at undetermined cost, but for presenting clear alternatives. Rather than advocating pacifism, Obama proposed targeting the real threat. You want a fight? Let's finish the fight with bin Laden and al-Qaeda, a strategy he would later implement as president, culminating in the 2011 bin Laden operation. Obama connected policy to American values, framing the Iraq War as both strategically flawed and a distraction from America's true battles against ignorance and intolerance, corruption and greed, poverty and despair. Taking this stance, especially when questioning military action was often seen as unpatriotic, revealed the moral foundation that would guide his presidency. Obama burst onto the national stage with his electrifying 2004 Democratic Convention keynote, a 17-minute speech that reshaped American political discourse. He opened with his story as the son of a Kenyan father and Kansas mother whose improbable love embodied American possibility. There's not a liberal America and a conservative America, there's the United States of America, became the speech's defining line. He challenged the red state, blue state divide with pointed examples. We worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we don't like federal agents poking around in our libraries in the red states. These examples reflected his core belief that Americans shared common values beneath partisan conflicts. The speech culminated in a meditation on hope, not blind optimism, but the substantial hope that drove slaves to seek freedom, immigrants to cross oceans, and workers to organize. This audacity of hope became his political signature, representing both personal and national possibility. The address stood out for its explicit rejection of America's cultural and political divisions during a time of deep polarization over the Iraq War and social issues. In his 2006 Call to Renewal address, Obama argued that removing religious language from public discourse would alienate millions who understand morality and social justice through faith. His experience with Chicago's black churches showed him how faith could be an active force for change while maintaining progressive values. Obama sought balance in religious matters, rejecting both strict church-state separation and religious policy impositions. He defended practical accommodations like Under God and the Pledge while recognizing faith-based programs' potential to address social issues. A Christian doctor's courteous objection to his website's portrayal of abortion opponents as right-wing ideologues prompted Obama to revise the language and reconsider how political discourse often vilifies opposing views. This experience shaped his approach to religious dialogue, emphasizing respect while seeking common ground on contentious issues. Trayvon Martin could have been me 35 years ago. These words, following Martin's killer's acquittal, showcased Obama's ability to blend personal experience with presidential perspective. As the first black president, he carried unique responsibility interpreting racial crises, most notably in his 2008 A More Perfect Union speech during the Jeremiah Wright controversy. Obama acknowledged both black anger and white resentment while tracing racial disparities to historical roots. He refused to disown Wright, comparing it to disowning his white grandmother who expressed racial stereotypes despite loving him, a personal window into America's racial complexity. His 2015 Selma speech at Edmund Pettus Bridge marked the pinnacle of his racial rhetoric, positioning Selma as central to American identity. He defined American exceptionalism through diversity. We are Lewis and Clark, Sojourner Truth, immigrants who stowed away, slaves who built the White House. His Charleston Church Massacre eulogy, culminating in singing Amazing Grace, transcended politics to become a moment of national healing. Speaking in Osawatomie, Kansas, where Theodore Roosevelt delivered his New Nationalism address, Obama outlined America's economic challenge. Middle-class families faced stagnant wages while costs soared. With the top 1% owning 40% of the nation's wealth, America's promise that hard work leads to success was at risk. Obama charted a middle path between unfettered capitalism and heavy-handed government, arguing markets need rules for fair competition. He challenged trickle-down economics as a failed theory that produced sluggish job growth while concentrating wealth. His vision centered on shared prosperity as both moral imperative and economic necessity. A weak middle class meant a weak overall economy. His agenda included manufacturing hubs, infrastructure investment for 70,000 deficient bridges, universal pre-K, immigration reform, and minimum wage increases. Rejecting the choice between deficit reduction and growth, Obama maintained that fiscal responsibility must pair with strategic investments in America's future competitiveness. What greater expression of faith in the American experiment than this? What greater form of patriotism is there than the belief that America is not yet finished? For Obama, America's greatness lay not in the past but in the future, in citizens' ongoing work to perfect the Union. His speeches balanced idealism with pragmatism, advocating for strategic change. At Howard University, he emphasized that meaningful progress requires not just hashtags, but votes. He championed democracy's need for compromise and coalition building, arguing that better is good because incremental gains create stronger positions for future progress. Even amid fierce opposition, Obama maintained that democratic dialogue could bridge deep divides. This optimism wasn't naive, but a deliberate choice to believe in positive change. As he stated in his final State of the Union, "That's the America I know. That's the country we love. Clear-eyed, big-hearted, optimistic that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word." His vision reminds us that progress in America has never been linear, but requires sustained faith in a better future.